From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello, VOI listener, wherever you are. How are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Listener, here's the news, first the headlines. President Jokowi inspects electric car battery factory in Karawang. Ministry of Foreign Affairs says no information yet about Indonesian citizens affected by the Libyan floods. Philippines and the U.S. discuss expanding military base access. And now the news in details. The first news. President Joko Widodo directly inspected the PT HLI Green Power Electric Car Battery Factory in Karawang Regency, West Java Province, Thursday. The president said the factory is the first and largest battery cell factory in Southeast Asia, which will start producing in the early next year by producing 30 million battery cells. According to the president, the factory is part of the government's development of a large electric vehicle ecosystem. With the development of this large ecosystem, it is hoped that Indonesia can enter the global supply chain for electric vehicles. While supervising the inspection, President Joko Widodo saw a number of factory areas, including the electrode line, assembly line, to the forming line. Accompanying the president in the inspection of the factory were the ambassador of the Republic of Korea to Indonesia, Lee Sang-duk, and the Minister of Trade, Zulkifli Hasan. The second news, spokesperson of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, said that the Indonesian government, through the Indonesian embassy in Tripoli, is still identifying on the possibility of Indonesian citizens who become the victims of the flash flood in Derna, Libya. In a statement in Jakarta Thursday, Iqbal said that Derna's geographical location, which is quite far from Tripoli, is one of the obstacles in the identification process. However, he confirmed that until this news was written, no reports received regarding Indonesian citizens affected by the floods.
We're continuously carrying out the identification. So far, until Thursday, we have no information about Indonesian citizens who have become the victims. But because this is in the eastern region, there are two regions in Libya and this area is quite far from Tripoli. So it will take time for us to confirm, but so far there have been no reports of Indonesian citizens becoming the victim in the area.
Meanwhile, regarding the aid, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal said that the Indonesian government was ready to send aid to the Libyan government in an effort to help the victims of the flash floods. However, according to him, the Libyan government had not sent an official request regarding the aid in question. Last weekend, eastern parts of Libya was hit by flash floods. The floods, which claimed tens of thousands of victims, were caused by heavy rains which hit several areas, especially the cities of Derna, Benghazi, Albaida, Al-Marj, and Sousa. The third news. Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Teten Masduki, encouraged the national furniture industry to get involved in fulfilling the need for furniture in Nusantara capital city. This was conveyed after the opening of the Indonesia International Furniture and Craft Fair with the theme Indonesia Mebel and Design Expo 2023 at Indonesia Convention and Exhibition BSD, Tangerang on Thursday. According to Teten Masduki, apart from offices, there will also be many residential houses, including other factories such as hotels that require furniture. Apart from that furniture, there's also a superior domestic product to enter the global market, also the domestic market. The fourth news. Philippine and the U.S. military officials said on Thursday they may look to further expand areas covered in their joint defense agreement, which could give Washington more access to bases in the Philippines at a time when tensions are simmering in the South China Sea. Manila granted the U.S. entry to four more bases in strategic areas of the Philippines earlier this year, a move that riled Beijing as it giving Washington access to a total of 9 military sites in the country under their 2014 Enhanced Defense Cooperation Agreement. U.S. Indo-Pacific Command head Admiral John Aquilino said he and the Philippines Military Chief Lieutenant General Romeo Browner Jr. have discussed the possibility of expanding the number of bases U.S. forces could access. President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. has said that granting the U.S. access to more military bases in his country was not intended for any offensive actions. The fifth news. Singapore is working with Malaysia and Indonesia to build a strong regional supply chain base to take advantage of changes in global manufacturing flows, the city-state top investment executive said on Thursday. Economic Development Board Managing Director Jacqueline Po said during an LSEG and Reuters newsmaker event that reaping the benefits of rising investment from India, China, and Southeast Asia in recent years, Singapore is increasing its cooperation with its neighbors to establish a manufacturing base that would include Singapore, the southern Malaysia state of Johor, and the nearby Riau Island of Indonesia. The efforts would help extend Singapore's position as one of the world's financial centers at the same time global wealth continued to tilt towards Asia. Po also told the audience that the EDB was focusing on increasing green finance and renewable energy investment, including in the solar, wind, and hydropower sectors. The sixth news. The Indonesian Consulate General in Johor Bahru, in cooperation with the Indonesian Migrant Workers Protection Service Agency, facilitated the repatriation of 6 victims of human trafficking in Malaysia to Dumai. The 6 victims are a mother with her 5 children. Sigit Suyantoro, the Indonesian consul in Johor Bahru, said in a written statement received by Antara on Thursday that the repatriation was conducted through Malacca Ferry Terminal to Dumai Ferry Terminal. According to Sigit, the 5 children were born to an Indonesian national mother and a Pakistani father, both residing and working without documents in Malaysia. The Indonesian Consulate General Johor Bahru encouraged Indonesian nationals wanting to work in Malaysia to participate in lawful migrant worker replacement programs. And the final news. The Indonesian and South Korean governments have launched the Green Digital Economy Platform to support transformation and boost digital innovation in agricultural technology, climate technology, and carbon trading. The platform was launched in Seoul, South Korea on September 13, 2023. The launch was attended by Presidential Chief of Staff Moldoko, founder of HumanX DQ Institute, Yuhyun Park, and a chairperson of the Presidential Commission for Carbon Neutrality and Growth, Sang Hyuk. Moldoko said in a statement issued on Thursday that the GDEP initiative will be significant for Indonesia's future, which will depend on 2 things, green and digital. He informed the launch was in the context of the 24th ASEAN Republic of Korea Summit, which was held on September 6 and resulted in agreement to promote green and digital economy, science, technology, and innovation, as well as carbon neutrality in the region. Moldoko said that GDEP is an innovation and business collaboration platform that will seek to align the digital economy and sustainability by pioneering a cross-economy model, which goes beyond the traditional circular economy framework. He added, with GDEP, Indonesia will be able to empower 62 million Indonesian farmers with the help of artificial intelligence and digital transformation. The platform can also be aligned with the meta-farming concept designed by the Indonesian Farmers Movement to produce 10 million digital farmers by the end of 2024. And that is the news.
Today's commentary is on 30 years of the Oslo Agreement. September the 13th this year marked the 30 years of the Oslo Agreement, signed by two parties who have been in conflict for more than a century. They are the Israeli government and the Palestinian entity represented by the Palestine Liberation Organization, or PLO. The Oslo Agreement is actually a crucial moment in efforts to achieve peace. In this agreement, the PLO, represented by leader Yasser Arafat, agreed to recognize the state of Israel. Meanwhile, the Israeli government, represented by Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, for the first time officially recognized the Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, as the legitimate representatives of the Palestinian people. At that time, Yitzhak Rabin agreed for Palestine to form its own government limited to Gaza and the West Bank. This mutual recognition of existence is considered the first step in the peace process, which is planned to take place later. Included in this process is the withdrawal of all Israeli troops from the Gaza Strip and West Bank and the right of Palestine to determine and govern its own territory. Unfortunately, the Oslo Accords began to collapse after a series of events. The first was the assassination of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin in November 1995 by Yigal Amir, an Israeli who opposed the Oslo Agreement. After this incident, Israel stopped handing over additional territory and powers to the Palestinians and refused to implement a number of important provisions in the agreement. The assassination of Yitzhak Rabin was followed by a series of terrorist-style attacks by Hamas, a splinter organization of the PLO. Hamas' action had the effect of weakening the Israeli people's support for the Labour Party in the Israeli elections in May 1996. While in fact the Labour Party supports Israeli-Palestinian peace efforts, Hamas' attacks have strengthened support for Benjamin Netanyahu from the Likud party, which has historically opposed the Palestinian statehood and withdrawal from the occupied territories. Afterwards, various attempts have been made to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, but have always failed. Until now, it still continues and violence keeps on occurring. According to data from the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, from 2008 to 2022, 6,014 Palestinians have become victims of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Meanwhile, the United Nations figures show that around 700,000 Jewish settlers now live in the West Bank and East Jerusalem, areas that are the core of a future Palestinian state. Residential development also developed rapidly. Meanwhile, over the last 18 months, as quoted from republica.co.d on September the 14th, attacks carried out by Palestinians in the West Bank have caused some Israeli casualties, including civilians and soldiers. On the other hand, attacks carried out by Jewish settlers in Palestinian towns and villages, plus almost daily attacks by Israeli forces, have killed hundreds of members of Palestinian groups and a number of civilians. Conditions like these make Israeli-Palestinian peace seem far from resolving. Nevertheless, efforts need to be continued to be made by various parties to create sustainable peace between Israel and Palestine. So far, the United States has always played a key role as a mediator in Israeli-Palestinian peace negotiations. However, unfortunately, the United States has not been successful in carrying out its role as a mediator in this conflict. It is hoped that other parties, such as European countries, will take part in mediating the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. European countries need to play back their historical role in pushing international policies to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict by focusing on equal rights for both peoples in line with the international law. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners. From Indonesia to the world.
I'll begin today in history with September the 15th, 1984. Prince Harry was born. Prince Harry is the youngest son of Prince Charles and Princess Diana. He was born at St. Mary's Hospital, London, on September the 15th, 1984. His birth name was Henry Charles Albert David, with the title of Duke of Sussex, but better known as Prince Harry. At the time of Prince Harry's birth, he was third in line to the British throne after Prince Charles and his older brother, Prince William. Turning now to September the 15th, 2000, the Sydney Olympics opened. The opening of the 27th Summer Olympics, which was then more commonly called the Sydney Olympics, was held on the evening of September the 15th, 2000. The opening ceremony lasted more than 5 hours. The opening of the Sydney Olympics has been called one of the most exciting openings of the Summer Olympics. According to survey agency Nielsen, the Sydney Olympics opening ceremony was broadcast by the NBC network, watched by more than 27 million viewers. There was the best performance at the opening, namely the athlete carrying the Olympic torch was seen entering the water, but the flame did not go out. The fire actually managed to light up the large cauldron, which marked the start of the 27th Olympic Games. The commemoration of International Democracy Day on September the 15th is the final entry in today in history. The United Nations General Assembly in 2007 designated September the 15th as International Democracy Day. The purpose is to maintain democratic values for all parties, especially the government. International Democracy Day also aims to be a media for promoting the government's role in maintaining open democracy among all member countries of the United Nations Charter, as a reminder to giving citizens the power to make decisions regarding all aspects of their lives, including monitoring elections. International Democracy Day is celebrated to strengthen democratic institutions and accountability, as well as helping countries recovering from conflict to create their own constitution. That was today in history.
Oh, 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 oh
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, My Indonesia today focuses on President wants government's furniture dominated by domestic product. Indonesian President Joko Widodo wanted the government's furniture spending to be dominated by domestic furniture products. Therefore, the president asked the domestic furniture industries to input their products to the government's e-catalog. That was stated by President Joko Widodo at IFINA 2023 Indonesia Furniture and Design Expo in Tangerang, Banten on Thursday. The president conveyed furniture has a great portion from the spending of state budget, regional budget, and even the state-owned enterprises in 2023, up to 1,236 trillion rupiah. The president hoped the Indonesian furniture industry could dominate the domestic market because it has a great potential. President Joko Widodo also said the government will keep encouraging the domestic market not to be dominated by foreign furniture products. According to the president, to dominate the domestic market, the follow-up is in the industry players' hands. One of the efforts to be taken is hunting furniture industry partners from other countries to cooperate. In the world's furniture market, the president elaborated, currently Indonesia ranks 17th with $2.8 billion revenue, while the global market potential reached $766 billion. President Joko Widodo also pointed out that in the 1990s, Indonesian furniture products used to dominate international expos such as in Italy, Germany, France and other nations. However, until now, the Indonesian furniture industry ranking was still behind Vietnam that ranks second and Malaysia that ranks 12th. Meanwhile, according to the president, Indonesian natural resources, raw material and manpower are very ready. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Kemana waktu kan membawa kita, kan?
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Listener, here is Indonesian Wonder. Travel and Traditional Food Guide Taste Atlas release the 50 best snacks or street foods in the world on 4th 2023. Indonesian food, namely somai, is in the first place and batagor is in the sixth place. Taste of food and drink of various parts of the world. The network gathered 50,128 food and drink observers to rate a dish. Listener, siomai is actually a Chinese culinary dish. In Mandarin, this food is called siomai, while in Cantonese, it is called siu mai. This food spread in Indonesia because it was brought by Chinese people. Siomai is a food containing meat wrapped in dumpling skin. In Indonesia, there are some types of siomai variations based on the filling, ranging from siomai to mackerel, chicken, shrimp, crab, or a mixture of chicken and shrimp. The filling ingredients are mixed with sago and tapioca, then wrapped in wonton skin and boiled. Siomai is usually served with several types of complementary ingredients, including boiled chicken eggs, boiled tofu, and vegetables such as potatoes, bitter melon, and cabbage. Siomai is generally served with peanut sauce made from ground peanuts with other spices and diluted with water. Seasonings for peanut sauce include red chilies, garlic, sugar, tamarind, table salt, and vinegar. When served, sweet soy sauce, chili sauce, and lime juice can be added to the dumplings. Listener, in Indonesia, siomai is synonymously and known as a typical food of West Java, particularly the city of Bandung. Because of this, many traders of siomai can be found labeled siomai Bandung as the name of their trades. In Indonesian culinary culture, dumplings can be categorized as street food and are usually sold by card. The price of a portion of dumplings ranges from 10,000 to 20,000 rupiah. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Telah lama tak nampak dirimu di sini. Jangankan ingin ku tersenyum, tak ada gairah. Ku ingin selalu bersamamu. Kini ku rasa diriku lah patah. Rangkul aku dalam bahagiamu. Ku
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, rapid infrastructure development in Indonesia contributed to carbon emission and climate change. Considering this situation, three students of the Civil Engineering Department at 10 November Institute of Technology, or ITS, created a solar panel layered road on bridges, or called solar road. Team leader Royce Giovanno Sutigno explained the innovation came from climate change issue that is a fact and a global issue. Low use of renewable energy on infrastructure development was the starting point of this innovation. Roy said, with average annual daylight duration up to 2,000 to 3,000 hours, Indonesia has a great potential to replace power sources with the eco-friendly ones. Besides, the solar road on bridges was seen to be more effective compared to roads might be blocked by trees or high-rise buildings. Therefore, Royce and team designed the innovative bridge with minimum upper and side frames. The 756.5-meter bridge designed by ITS team can produce electricity up to 13,843.95 kilowatt per hour. Not only efficient in providing renewable energy, their innovation bridge was proven to be twice stronger than asphalt. It has tempered glass as base material, along with three main layers, namely the road surface layer, electronic layer, and base plate layer. The solar road can be used up to 20 years. Well, that's Miscellany, about a solar panel layered road on bridges created by ITS students, Surabaya, East Java, Indonesia.
Rasakan getaran yang kerap goyahkan rasa serasa ada sentuhan baru sinari hari-hariku pertama diriku pun tergoda hilangnya matamu runtuhkan angkunya dinding hati goyahkan batas sepiku dinginku.
Lakukan aku dalamnya.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations, Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, this time, we're going to enjoy a song from Tanah Toraja, South Sulawesi, entitled Marendeng Marampa. Marendeng Marampa, which means safe and peaceful, is a song that unites the Toraja people. This song presents a memory about the Toraja people's birthland for those who are not in Toraja. Marendeng Marampa tells a story about how safe and peaceful that place is, and it is full of valleys, mountains, hills, and rice fields. Even the lyrics tells a story about a tenacity of the Toraja people who have high spirits and do not give up easily. The Toraja people are aware of their responsibility to achieve glory. Okay, listener, this is a song from Tanah Toraja entitled Marendeng Marampa, sung by Ucu Shubere.
Bukan Sulawesi. Halo.
Dan apabila esok datang kembali seperti sedia kala, di mana kau bisa berkata
dan perlahan kau pun lupakan aku, mimpi burukmu di mana telah kutancapkan duri tajam. Kau pun menangis, menangis sedih. Maafkan aku, lupakanlah saja diri. Kukira itu bisa membuatmu kembali bersinar dan berpijak seperti dulu kala. Caci maki saja diri. Kukira itu bisa membuatmu kembali bersinar dan seperti dulu kala. Dan bukan maksudku, bukan inginku melukaimu. Sadarkah kau di sini ku terluka, melupakanmu, menepi.
Of Indonesia.
Pertama, kurasakan getaran yang goyahkan rasa, serasa ada sentuhan baru sinari hari-hariku. Pertama diriku pun tergoda hilangnya matamu, runtuhkan angkunya dinding hati, goyahkan batas sepiku.
Listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.